Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, or just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the best hour, Tony Williamson.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Glad to be back with you. We are back at home base and glad to be back home. And just still kind of getting oriented this morning. And it is really refreshing to be back home. I don't know, there's something obviously comforting about familiarity, where the ego mind at least seems to have the idea that, you know, life is better, or we're more comfortable, or whatever the case may be. But there's no place we can be other than home. And that's kind of what I have come to realize more and more often. It doesn't matter where we are. You know, my sweet love, Reverend Claudia, we were talking a couple of days ago. We had watched a movie about Sarajevo, and we were talking about different places, you know, there's a big world out there, a big universe out there. But what we are experiencing through the eyes of the body and what we're experiencing through, you know, our physical sensations is a misperception of what God is being. And we're calling it all these different things, different places, different events, and all this stuff. And there seems to be so much to experience. But what came to me and what I said to her was simply that no matter where you go to, the dream that we're experiencing is always changing. So you're going to experience movement of love, movement of the mind of God. It really doesn't matter where you are in the sense of I can go to this place because this place is more special than that place over there, because we're trying to sometimes make something physical spiritual. I mean, you know, try to create something spiritual out of something physical, if you will. Like this is a particular place. And God is here more than God is over there. Well, I think we've all come to recognize that there are such a thing as vibrational fields, right? And we've come to recognize that our minds are just emitting, we're like big broadcasters, you know, emitting frequency. And when many minds are joined together, there is a vibration. Absolutely, there's a vibration. And that vibrational power of that vibration, when two minds are joined in God, it's amazing, the vibrational energy. And so what had come to me a couple of weeks ago when I had kind of an awakened experience was that we need to be in a certain place. And we talked about, you know, and going and maybe changing our location, or at least spending more time in this certain place. What was coming to me was that the reason for it wasn't because that this was a better place, And it wasn't because that there was some mission or something that needed to be done to fix this place or, you know, whatever. It, that wasn't the whole point of that experience. It's almost like a knowing, but it's a change of shift of perception, was that I need to be, and I'm sounding selfish and don't mean to sound selfish, but that this vibrational field that is in this place is good for my awakening and for both of us, for my love and I. This is a place where both of us are in a vibration of being celebrated and being loved and being, you know, accepted, and all the things that go into, you know, being, you know, resting in God, resting in love. You know, these were all things that we experience, and it kind of points to that this is a vibration that we need to be in. You know, this is where we should be right now. And it wasn't because there's something that needs to be done. It's because this is where we can experience and open up to love more easily, okay, which is to say remove the obstacle to the awareness of the presence of love. If we are not in an environment that is aligned with our intention, what is your desire? And out of that desire, you set your intention, right? And then you move into allowance and ultimately into surrender. These are the keys to the kingdom. Well, the only goal is to the goal that has never changed is to wake up to the realization of self, true capital S self, as we say. And in this awakening, we recognize ourselves as love. As love. Immersed in love, because we're allowing and surrendering to love, and as love is flowing into our experience, we are extending it into our environment. But to be in an environment of acceptance and to be in an environment of celebration of love, of God, of Spirit, is very healthy, right? Because these are the environments where we can begin to let go of the idea that we are separate from God. It's just an idea that we keep giving value to. The ego, that is, a thought system that gives value to it. But God didn't create you as a thinker. We were listening to Raj Poor this morning. You can find Raj on the internet or iTunes. Go to iTunes Store and do a search on Rajcast, Rajcast, and you can hear the many hours and hours of his dissertation, his discussion. It's brilliant. It's beyond anything that I could ever hope to share, literally, but it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, Raj is our brother Jesus Christ channeling through Paul Tuttle, and he's teaching A Course in Miracles. And I take what I can. I share it here with you because the teacher is the learner, and I share it here with you so that I might learn it myself. But this field of energy, this field of love, this field of vibration that I feel with you here on our radio broadcast is a connectingness. It flows through me and as me, and in this field of acceptance, just knowing that you're there listening, whether it's on archive or whether you're listening live now or whatever, it doesn't matter. This energy field has a vibration that I feel at home in. And I know that by expressing these thoughts with you that I am learning these things from my teacher, your teacher, that part of our mind that is one mind and always with us. And I was listening to Raj this morning, and Raj is sharing about, you know, how God didn't create a thinker. So So if you want to really get in touch with the beingness that you are, it's, you know, it's this practice that we've been employing called meditation is very, very important. And we can find that space where there is a quietness, a quietness of just being and just knowing of self, being, capital B, being. So while we look to some places, we want to travel here and go travel there, you know, and we say, well, every place is only the mind of God. There is no place you can be other than the mind of God, right? We accept that now. The other, then what, does it matter where you are? Well, no, not in that sense. You're always only in the mind of God. But I've come to recognize, because I was had doubts about this before, but I've come to recognize through these recent, you know, experiences that there are energy fields where others join in a higher level of consciousness and awareness of God and of spirit, the universal intuition. Is a term that's used in A Course in Miracles. In these environments, that energy field helps us to open up even more and to remove even more of the obstacles, or if you will, to just push them away, you know, just sweep them to the side, so that we can experience love flowing through us. And so I've gained a new respect for the idea that, yeah, there are places that we could probably travel to where others have gathered and gather regularly and join together in appreciation of the truth of spirit, and that that vibrational field is an elevated field of vibration which helps to remove obstacles and to remove our own self-placed, you know, obstacles to the awareness of the presence of God and love, and to feel that energy. And in that feeling, to experiencing it, it's just an experience that's always being new of love flowing into you so that you can then give it out into your environment, loving everyone unconditionally, loving the world unconditionally, recognizing that what we've defined it as is a misperception, and knowing that beyond it and being able to see beyond the physical appearance of things is that there is this beautiful energy that's only known and can only be recognized as the movement of the mind of God, which is the movement of love. It's all love. It's all love. There's nothing else to experience. Thank God and hallelujah. I want to turn to chapter 11 as we've been reading it. We were talking about the dynamics of the ego yesterday, and we finished up with the third paragraph. And I don't know how far we'll get today, but we're just going to let Spirit guide us here. And we're in review again now. So we're reviewing two lessons each day, and today we're going to review lesson 112. We're going to discuss lesson 112, which is a review of earlier two earlier lessons. And there's not a lot of content here. What we're now practicing to do is to be in that space of quietude, to meditate, to find that place of silence that is there. It is there. And the more we practice it, the stronger we get. I was talking to the audience on Sunday about the, like, driving through the country and trying to tune in your AM/FM radio station, and you hear this little voice. And, you know, your static is all you hear, but you hear this little, you know, so you kind of, oh, let me go back there. So you kind of start fine-tuning your receiver, okay? Start fine-tuning your receiver. But something that I didn't say then, but I want to say now in relationship to that, is that it's not trying So I don't want to think that it's a struggle and that we are seeking. So we're trying to fine tune our receptor here for the seeking part. It's more allowing. It's more about allowing, accepting and allowing, accepting and allowing. So in this place of silence, that we are building a field through our practice of meditation, building a field of an environment where the ego dynamic doesn't have sway with us. We're just kind of brushing it off to the side, and it's going to keep talking to you. It's going to keep passing thoughts through, and you just, you know, just don't get attached to them. You know, we just ignore it. We disregard it. We turn our back on it. We do not give it the power of our awareness. Miracles are seen in light, as our lesson yesterday said. So this is bringing illusion to truth. The practice of meditation is just the practice of quieting the mind, and we're talking about the ego mind, which is not really your mind, even though it certainly tries to convince us and keep us spellbound into believing those thoughts, that those are not thoughts themselves are not you. We think we are our thoughts. I mean, that's what the ego would like us to believe, and certainly goes a long way to do it, right? But we are not the thinker even, because you were not created as a thinker. You were created as the awareness of the presence of love. The love is beyond what can be taught, but it's what you can feel. It is what you can experience. And so as we talk about the dynamics of the ego over the next few minutes, we need to remember, as we finished our statement yesterday, all power is of God. So the ego is busy telling us what we need to do today, but all of those things are really distraction from the quietude, the peace of God that is in your mind even now, at this very now. And in between the thoughts that stream through the mind that the ego keeps, witnessing to, it keeps displaying in your mind these streams of thoughts about things that appear to be important. And you should give your attention to this one or that one or this thing or that thing, because these things are, this is what's important, because this is what sustains your life. Life is an outpicturing of love. Love is your source. Love is what sustains your awareness and the awareness of love itself. Is our only function. That's it. It's not thinking, not doing, it's not striving or seeking, it's allowing love to be experienced, to be felt. Pours into us through the gap between our thoughts when we literally allow love to infill us, to infill our mind. Father, what is the truth here? When we ask the question, all power is of God, and what is not of Him, God, has no power to do anything. All these ego thoughts, as brilliant as they may sound at the time that they are displayed, you know, at the time that they're announced in our mind, oh, I need to do this. This would be brilliant. This would be a great thing to do. This would fix this problem. This would take care of that problem. This would solve this drama. This would relinquish the pain that so-and-so is feeling over here or I'm feeling over there, you know, whatever it may be. It sounds absolutely important, but it's not. What is not of God has no power to do anything except keep us distracted from love, the awareness of the presence of love. You are that. You are love. And our only function is to be love. Let's start reading here, paragraph 4. We're following along, if you're following along with us, on chapter 11, section 5, page 203 in the second edition, and we're going to talk about the dynamics of the ego in this section, section 5. Paragraph 4. When we look at the ego, then, we're not considering dynamics, but delusions. You can surely disregard a delusional system without fear, for it cannot have any effects if its source is not real. Fear becomes more obviously inappropriate if you recognize the ego's goal, which is so clearly senseless that any effort on its behalf is necessarily expended on nothing. The ego's goal is quite explicitly ego autonomy. I want to interject here the idea of orphanhood, the idea of separation. This is what the ego is wanting us to believe, that its thinking is the most important thing we can do today. Its thinking and the ideas that it has about what's important today are the most important thing that we can give our awareness to today. But all power is of God. So what's not of him has no power to do anything. So even though the ego presents itself as brilliant and we literally become hypnotized by the very idea of this thought, oh, look how brilliant this is. This is, I am so intelligent, right? That in and of itself, this is necessarily energy that's expended on nothing. Effort on its behalf is necessarily expended on nothing. Because the ego's goal is quite explicitly only this thing, separation, ego autonomy. Hello, orphan land. Continuing. From the beginning, then, its purpose is to be separate, sufficient unto itself, and independent of any power except its own. This is why it's the symbol of separation. I want to interject again that this, you know, we even have phrases like, you know, rugged individualism. We have a whole system. Our whole system is designed around educating people to be able to stand on their own two feet, to take care of themselves independent of everybody else and every situation, and fear and guilt, which never arise separately, fear and guilt are the driving motivations for us to do whatever we need to do to protect ourselves from what? From the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world is crazy as hell, and they're going to go off the deep end over here, and the whole damn thing is going to crash. So I need to work over here. I need to protect myself. I need to do this. I need to do that. And I need to surround myself by these other people so that they can give me love, so I can feel that my thoughts are smart enough, genuine enough, brilliant enough, intelligent enough, that I'll be respected as a rugged individualist, as being smart enough to stand on my own two feet. So that I can be autonomous in and of I'm making myself up, and look how good I am at it. Continuing. Every idea has a purpose, and its purpose is always the natural outcome of what it is. Everything that stems from the ego, then, is the natural outcome of its central belief. And the way to undo its results is merely to recognize that their source is not natural, being out of accord with your true nature. Your true nature, I'm interjecting now, is to be joined with God. Father, thy will, not mine be done. Father, thy will, not mine be done. My nature is not to think. My nature is to be joined with God. Father, thy will, not mine, be done. And the ego's entire system, again, the whole idea has a purpose, and its purpose is for us to believe that God is not here. God is gone. God is separate. We're somewhere else. We're on this little planet spinning around in the solar system, and God's in the heavens, certainly somewhere else. Nowhere to be seen. The ego's idea has a singular purpose of keeping us separate from God or orphaned from God simply by creating distractions, obstacles to the awareness of the presence of our Father. Because we are not orphans, and we are not creating ourselves. We did not give ourselves life. And so everything that stems from the ego is the natural outcome of its central belief. Continuing, I said before that to will contrary to God is wishful thinking and not real willing. It's just wishful thinking. It's not real willing because what is not of God has no power to do anything, right? It's not real willing. His will, God's, is one because the extension of his will cannot be unlike itself. And I'm interjecting, you are an extension of that will of God. You are a thought in the mind of God. Continuing, the real conflict you experience then is between the ego's idle wishes and the will of God, which you share. You don't really share the ego's idle wishes at all, even though it's trying to convince you that it is you. You only share the will of the Father, the will of God. Can this be a real conflict? Well, no. It's not really a conflict at all. It's just a misperception. That's why there's no order of difficulties in miracles, my friends, because you're only making a decision, okay, to listen to the teacher that's always wrong, or you're rejoining your will with the will of God, the teacher, which is the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, that is the voice for your true self and is never wrong. Never wrong. Yours, continuing, is the independence of creation, not of autonomy. Your whole creative function lies in your complete dependence on God, whose function he shares with you. By his willingness to share it, he becomes as dependent on you, and we're talking about God here, by God's willingness to share it, and he shares his function with you, he becomes as dependent on you as you are on him. Do not ascribe the ego's arrogance to God, to him who wills not to be independent of you. He has included you in his autonomy. Can you believe that autonomy is meaningful apart from him, God? The belief in ego autonomy is costing you the knowledge of your dependence on God, in which your freedom lies. The ego sees all dependency as threatening and has twisted even your longing for God into a means of establishing itself. But do not be deceived by its interpretation of your conflict. The thought that arises to me as I read that is, look at what our media and what our school systems and what our political systems all over the world, all the governing bodies are almost always trying to get us to take God out of our experience, to take God out of our schools, to take God out of, you know, just the term God strikes fear in the hearts of those who are so ruggedly independent that we are autonomous, each and every one of us, of each other and of God, that we can't even speak of God now without somebody being upset about it. Better not speak about God in a public place, whatever. It's bullshit. But it does kind of point it up, doesn't it? How insidious the ego is. And there's little doubt, right, that the ego appears to be running the world. So, of course, it wants us to be, to let just whatever we got to do to snuff out the idea of God, you know, for its own twisted perception and to a means of establishing itself. But do not be deceived by its interpretation of your conflict. Continuing, paragraph 7, the ego always attacks on behalf of separation. Believing it has the power to do this, it does nothing else. Now, it's doing this on behalf of separation because its goal of autonomy is nothing else. Its goal of autonomy is nothing else but for you to be an orphan, for you to rely, I'm interjecting, for you to rely on its own, your own thinking. For you to rely solely on your own thinking. What about the other person in my life that's so, you know, significantly present? I rely on him or I rely on her, you know, and I rely on this one. I rely on, you know, I'm not completely independent. You know, I depend on these other people. Well, I just want to ask you a question. What about the people that aren't significantly present in your life? Well, I don't like that one over there. I don't care much about that one over there. I don't hang out with that one over there, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they don't really resonate with me. This one, you know, is, you know, I think this one over here is this way. You know, I think that one over there is that way. Well, we separate out everybody we can, don't we? And we only include the people that align with our own personal thinking, our own egoic thinking, at least as closely as we can get. But we don't even really agree with everything they want. From time to time, I need a break from so-and-so. I just need to get away. We need to get away from the favorite people in our lives. I can only be around so-and-so for so long. The ego's only goal is separation. Those thoughts are insane. And they are not the will of your Father. They are not the joining of mind. At all. It always, the ego, always attacks on behalf of separation. Believing it has the power to do this, it does nothing else because its goal of autonomy is nothing else. Continuing, the ego is totally confused about reality, but it does not lose sight of its goal. It's much more vigilant than you are because it is perfectly certain of its purpose. I think it's important to restate the ego is totally confused about reality and that it's much more vigilant than you are because it is perfectly certain of its purpose. You are confused because you do not recognize yours. Your what? Your purpose. Father, thy will, not mine be done. Your purpose is to join with the will of God because that is your will. To be autonomous in God, not to be autonomous by yourself from separated from the world. You must realize, continuing, you must realize that the last thing the ego wishes you to realize is that you are afraid of it. For if the ego could give rise to fear, it would diminish your independence and weaken your power. Yet its one claim to your allegiance is that it can give power to you. See, without this belief, you would not listen to it at all. How then can its existence continue if you realize that by accepting it, that you are belittling yourself and depriving yourself of power? I want to go back and read where we left off yesterday. All power is of God, and what is not of him has no power to do anything. How then can it's the ego's existence continue if you realize that by accepting it, that you're belittling yourself. By you accepting the ideas of the ego, you're belittling yourself and depriving yourself of power. Because all power is of God and you and God are one. You're the only one with power. Continuing, the ego can and does allow you to regard yourself as superficious, unbelieving, lighthearted, distant, emotionally shallow, callous, uninvolved, and even desperate, but not really afraid. Yeah. See, minimizing fear, but not its undoing, is the ego's constant effort and is indeed a skill at which it is very ingenious. How can it preach separation without upholding it through fear? And would you listen to it if you recognize this is what it's doing? It's holding up fear, I'm interjecting. It's holding up fear as an instrument of separation. It's also holding up guilt, because guilt and fear are never alone, as an instrument of separation. How can it preach separation without upholding it through fear? And would you listen to it if you recognize that this is what it's doing? So your recognition, continuing, that whatever seems to separate you from God is only fear. Regardless of the form it takes, and quite apart from how the ego wants you to experience it, if you recognize this, it is therefore the basic ego threat. Your recognition that whatever seems to separate you from God is only fear, regardless of the form it takes, and quite apart from how the ego wants you to experience it, is therefore the basic ego threat. It's the only thing it's got that keeps you believing that you should be separated from your brothers and sisters. Its dreams, the ego's dream of autonomy, is shaken to its foundation by this awareness. For though you may countenance a false idea of independence, you will not accept the cost of fear if you recognize it. Yet this is the cost, and the ego cannot minimize it. If you overlook love, you're overlooking yourself, and you must fear unreality because you denied yourself. By believing that you have successfully attacked truth, you're believing that attack has power. Very simply, then, you have become afraid of yourself. And no one wants to find what he believes would destroy himself. Destroy him. We literally, the ego has convinced us that God would destroy us. It would destroy our rugged individualism. It would destroy our autonomy. It would destroy our independence. If we join with the Father, if we join with God, even if we begin to even seek out God, you know, we're moving in the direction of losing ourselves. And look what we've done. Look how successful we are. We've really made this work. You and I have heard countless stories now about people who finally get to the place where they recognize, oh, my God, I can't do this anymore. My whole idea of creating a life around myself, of maintaining health in my life, of not getting older, you know, finding the Holy Grail, of making my body, eternal, immortal, of making myself. When all this, the realization finally hits that no matter what we do, we have failed miserably, and that life is just crushing us, and some icon that we've made ourselves into has become nothing in the eyes of the world, that we've lost everything. Everything that we've done has been for nothing. We've lost it all. It's all gone. It's all over. Even in those moments, the ego rises and says, well, you can still be independent. You can take your life. You can end it right now. End all this crap. End this misery. You're still in charge. You still get to be in control. And many do, unfortunately. Listen to that voice yet again. It's always wrong. And they take or attempt to take what they believe to be their very own life. Well, guess what? You didn't give yourself life, and you can't take it from yourself. But then there are those who, in that same experience, the full realization of the absolute fallacy of the idea that the ego has projected that we are autonomous is nothing more than a lie. Nothing more than an illusion. And in that realization, they let go. They surrender. They allow love to begin to flow into their, and they awaken to the realization that they and God are one. And that God is that one. And then they let that be. They let it be, and they get their identity back. And suddenly it doesn't make a damn what the world thinks of them. They could care less. They could sit on a park bench for a couple of years and worry about nothing. Because there's nothing to worry about. Worry itself is an illusion. Fear is an illusion that the ego uses and we allow it to use against us, ourselves, to believe something that is absolutely false, to even believe that God would destroy us. It's a crazy, crazy thing. Very simply then, you have become afraid of yourself, and no one wants to find what he believes would destroy him. We're going to stop there. That's paragraph 10. As we still study in the dynamics of the ego, this is so very, very important to us, because if we really understand it, we can quit giving it the power of our mind. I want to turn to our workbook lesson today, lesson 112. Remember, we want to spend 5 minutes in the morning with one of the lessons, and then we want to spend 5 minutes in the evening with another one of the lessons in meditation and quiet and consideration and surrender. But throughout the day, at the top of the hour, we want to remind ourselves of the expression that is each of one of these lessons in review, and then at the bottom of the hour or 30 minutes later, however you want to set it up, the second one, and then go 30 minutes later back to the first one, 30 minutes later back to the second one, and so forth throughout the day. Light and joy and peace abide in me are the first lesson in review this morning. I am the home of light and joy and peace. I welcome them into the home I share with God because I am a part of him. We want to be with this expression, this truth of principle, and we want to abide with this for about 5 minutes in meditation for the first half of our day at some point. I am as God created me. I will forever, as I was, I will remain forever as I was, created by the changeless like himself. I will remain forever as I was, created by the changeless like himself, and I am one with him, and he with me. I am as God created me. So on the hour, light and joy and peace abide in me, and on the half hour, I am as God created me. So let's make the time today, add a review of these, top of the hour, 30 minutes later, whenever, set your smartphone, and then be with each one of these for 5 minutes. And we've talked about that space today, that between thoughts that ego keeps displaying, announcing, and, you know, it's the thinking stream of constant thoughts. I think it was Dr. David Hawkins who, in his work, he wrote a book in 1995, I think now, 20 years ago, but it was called Power versus Force. But anyway, in that book or in some of the subsequent books that he talked and expressed some ideas that have stood the test of time, I think, in many ways. Well, one of those was that we have about 64,000 thoughts a day. And I'm like, wow, that's... I've heard others say, you know, there's at least 2,000 thoughts a day, whatever. I got to tell you, whatever you want to think, you know, it's somewhere between 2,000 and 60,000 thoughts a day for sure, whatever may be going on. But we want to practice right? We want to practice being quiet and allowing the voice for God, the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind, to be our connector, to be our teacher, to be our comforter, to be our guide. And so I want to share a prayer with us today that speaks to that. So join me if you will, in a moment of silence and prayer. Father, today I would only hear your voice in deepest silence. I would come to know you, to come to you, to hear your voice and to receive your word. I have no prayer but this. I come to you to ask you for the truth. And truth is only your will. And that is what I would share with you today, Father. I come to you today in prayer to ask this. Father, what is the truth here? What is the truth? And I pray that you will help me to find that moment of silence, that a thinking mind that is not my mind would be silenced at last, even if for the briefest of moments, so that I might know your word, Father. And these favors we ask in your name as we join together today as mighty companions in exploring your love and your teaching through our brother Christ Jesus in A Course in Miracles. This prayer we ask in your name, Father. Amen. Well, I would say thank you once again, my brothers and sisters, for joining me today. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to open up to truth, to express what has come through as love, in love, and loving, and in sincere appreciation that you are with me. I love you. I look forward to being back with you again tomorrow morning.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's T-O-N-Y @truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.